Father in heaven, we thank you. What shall we say unto you, Lord? All we have to say, Father, is thank you. Thank you. For your mercies, we say thank you. For your goodness, we say thank you. For your love, we say thank you. For your faithfulness, Lord, we say thank you. We thank you for your ever unfailing word to us. Our helper, our comforter, our intercessor. The one who has been given to help us. Thank you. Lord, let the entrance of your word bring forth light and understanding even into our hearts this morning. We receive seeing eyes, hearing ears, and hearts that know, that receive and understand your word. Thank you, King of Glory, in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said,
Amen.
And everybody said,
Amen.
Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Last week we started, or I started, two realities you choose. That was the subtitle. Two realities. Hallelujah. This morning we are going to continue still in that same trajectory, still on that same path. Hallelujah. And I want us to go to the book of Romans. That was our main text, and we'll go back there today. Romans chapter 8. The book of Romans, chapter 8. And we're going to start to read from verse 1. Hallelujah. We're going to look majorly in the New King James and the Passion Translation of the Bible. Verse 1. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. It reads, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." We'll stop there. There is what? Therefore now, no condemnation to those who walk in the who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. I want us to take note of some things there. Remember, last week we were looking at the two realities. And what are they? Natural reality and spiritual reality. Hallelujah. And we looked at some of these things, the characteristics or the nature of these realities. But today I want you to follow me in this chapter as we bring out some truth in God's word that will help us in the days to come, that will help us in the days that we are entering into. He says, there is therefore now. We are what? In the now season. This is our now season. That is, in this now season, it says, therefore, there is therefore. What is it therefore? Hallelujah. What is it there for? It's letting us know that in this now season that we are in, there is no condemnation for you.
Amen.
You have been adjudged victorious. Hallelujah. It says, therefore, now there is no condemnation. What does the word condemnation mean? It means to determine to be wrong. It means to prove guilty. But it says now there is now no condemnation to those who are in, meaning that there are some who are not in. Amen? It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, meaning that it's not everybody that is in Christ Jesus. There are some who are not in Christ Jesus. I want us to go back and listen to the message last week, as also other messages that have been preached, even from this platform, so that we remind ourselves, because repeating every day, every Sunday in, Sunday out, cuts in into the time. So go back and listen to get a full understanding, because I will not be able to go back and refresh our memories. Hallelujah. He says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Hallelujah. This morning, I've entitled this message or this sharing, two realities living by the power of the Holy Spirit. Praise the name of the Lord. Two realities living by the power of the Holy Spirit. Not by the power of the world. By the power of what? The Holy Spirit. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. If we move to verse 2. It says, for the law of the Spirit. What I'll do is that I'll read all the scriptures and then we'll go back to them one by one. Verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Verse 3. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. Verse 4. That the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be what? Spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. We'll stop there. Hallelujah. Go back to verse 2. What does it say? It says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Question, what is the law of the Spirit of life? What is the law of the Spirit of life? Anybody? What is the law of the Spirit of life? Hallelujah. Amen. The law of the Spirit of life is the living word. It's the word of God. It's the law of the Spirit and life. Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are what? They are spirit and they are life. They are not dead. They are alive. They are spirit and they are life. Hallelujah. God's word in our lives, what does it do? It creates spiritual reality in us. We dwell in that reality as we take in the word of God, as we soak in the word of God, as we dwell in the word of God, we create that spiritual reality around us. That's what happens when we embrace the word of God. It changes the atmosphere around us. It creates the word around us. It creates God around us. It creates presence around us. And that's the place you want to be. Not anywhere else. Hallelujah. It says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has, not will be, or not will, it has already done it. The word of God has done what it's supposed to do. It was Pastor B that said this many years ago. He said he went to God for some things. And God told him, he said, when I gave Jesus, I gave my best. But when I gave the Holy Spirit, I gave my all. There's nothing more for God to give to you. Everything is embedded in his word. We are the ones to embrace that word, dwell in that word, dig into that word to create that spiritual reality around us and in our lives. Oh God, do this for me. I've done it, he says. You get into the word. How do I get into the word? Get into the word, access the word, embrace it, enjoy, live it so that you can experience God and the promises he has for us. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Look, let's still on verse 2. It says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of what? Sin and death. The natural law. The law that brings death. It says, law of sin and death. What does it mean to make free? It means to set free, to deliver, to liberate. The word has set you free. Amen. The word does not hold us bound. Yes. It's liberating. Look at John chapter 8 verse 32. What does it say? It says, and you. It didn't say I'm pastor. Thank God for pastor. And you. You shall what? You shall know. The know there means an intimate knowledge. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You shall know the truth, and the truth that you know is the one that will make you free. See here, it says the spirit of what? Of law. The spirit of life has made us free from sin and death. The spirit of life has made us free. And it says, you shall know the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. The truth that you know is what will make you free. Remember, we're looking at this. This is the spiritual reality and life, living by the power of the Holy Spirit. When you dwell in the spiritual reality, you are living by the power of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit has been given to help us. He has been given to strengthen us. He has been given to encourage us. And as we embrace this word, as we take in the word, as we meditate on the word, and as the word becomes revealed to us, it makes us free. It makes us what? Free. Free from sin. Free from death. Why? Because we now know the truth. And it's not just knowing, we are now walking in the truth. We are living in the truth of his word. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Many times we are asking God for this. Lord, give me this. But you know what? God has already settled things concerning us if we will get into his word and discover the things he has settled and discover the things that have been freely given to us. The things that Christ accomplished on the cross. Hallelujah. He has been freely given to us, and he has made us free. But I don't feel free. There it again. It's not about feelings. How do you feel free? You know that you are free. It's a knowing. It's a conviction based on his word, based on the reality you are dwelling in. Hallelujah. Many a times, we come to God. We say, oh Lord, I'm not experiencing this in my life. And he's looking at you. What more am I going to do? But you are doing this. Just like, was it Josie that came yesterday during our prayer time? And when she was sharing, she said, because at our prayer altar, we were asking, Daddy was asking, asking them, what did you learn? What has the Lord been telling you even in this period of praying and fasting? And she said, oh, I was ready to bombard the gates of heaven. I was ready, you know, to see when she's excited. I was ready to bombard. And God said, cool down. You don't need to bombard. This is the key. You bombard when you don't have the key. Well, he said, this is the key. I've given you the key already. You don't need to bombard. Hallelujah. That is knowing the truth, and the truth made her, set her free. It was not a feeling. It was a knowing on the inside that, look, God has indeed done this on my behalf. I just need to create that reality. I need to walk in that reality, the spiritual reality, with the help of the Holy Spirit. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. It says, he has made me free from the law of sin and death. Don't dwell in the natural reality. Don't dwell in the natural. What does it produce? Sin. Death. There's nothing good about it. Hallelujah. Verse 3. It says, so what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. I want us to go to the TPT with this verse. Verse 3. For God achieved what the law was unable to accomplish. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? That the law, which law was he talking about? The natural law. What the natural law was not able to accomplish, because it could not even accomplish it. There was no power to back it up. It says, for God achieved what the law was unable to accomplish, because the law was limited by the weakness of human nature. What is this? What is this talking about there? For God, spiritual reality, achieved what the natural reality could not achieve. Why? Because that law was limited. That law was what? Limited. He had limitations. He had no power. There was no power backing it. Unlike the spiritual law that has the backing and everything embedded in the Holy Spirit. The Bible talks about the power that raised Christ from the dead. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. How awesome is that power? But it says the natural law was limited. On Friday, during the time of prayers, that pastor was taking us through Psalm 78. When he was talking about the children of Israel. Why could they not enter? Why were they? Did they miss it? Let's quickly go there. Psalm 78 verse 40 and 41. In the New King James. Why could they not enter? What happened to them? They left Egypt. When they left, they were so excited. They were filled with hope. They were filled with joy. But what happened along the way? How often they provoked him in the wilderness. Look at that. They provoked him. And grieved him in the desert. When someone is provoking you and grieving you, what will your reaction be? You smile and say, God bless you. Just carry on doing what you are doing. Will that be your response? What would be your response? You want to do away with that person. I say, you've cost me too much. I'm just get out of my way. Let me be on my own. Verse 40 again. He said what? How often? He didn't say it once. They did it again and again and again. How often they provoked him? How often again and again? It wasn't a one-time, one-off. How often they provoked him in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert? Verse 41. Yes, again and again they did what? They tempted God. And what? Limited the Holy One of Israel. They did what? They limited the Holy One of Israel. They limited what God could do in their lives. God is not limited, but you can limit him by what he can do for you. And that is what the children of Israel did. They grieved him. They tempted him again and again and again. And they limited the Holy One of Israel. If we go back to Romans 8 verse 3 in the Passion Translation, it says, for God achieved what the law was unable to achieve, because the law was limited. It was powerless. Why was it powerless? Because it was governed by the natural law. Weakened by what? Human nature. Governed by the natural law, which brings sin and death. And you know what? That law is ruled by Satan. We looked at that last week in 1 Corinthians 4:4. And Satan is the god of this world. Hallelujah. It was limited. They limited God. The natural realm is limited. Not limitless. It's limited. Because the things that God will produce in your life, it will take the Holy Spirit to bring them to pass. And that is limitless power. Hallelujah. It will take God to bring about things in our lives. Amen. Because when it's God-given, it will be God-governed and God-driven. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. It says, what the flesh could not do, God accomplished by the power in the Holy Spirit, by the strength of the Holy Spirit, by the backing of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. It says, yet God sent us his Son in human form to identify with human weakness. Thank God for Christ that is there to identify with us. Thank God for the Holy Spirit that God gave him to us to be a helper for us, to help us in this journey of life, to help us to get across those hills and those mountains and the obstacles we confront in life. Thank God for the spiritual reality that we live by. And that is where we are to dwell in, not on the other one. Yet God, what happened? Clothed with humanity, God's Son gave his body to be the sin offering, so that God could once and for all condemn the guilt and power of sin. Hallelujah. Sin has power. But the power is limited. Amen. It's limited. Oh, I can't help myself. Yes, you can. You just need the helper. You need the power of the helper. Oh, I can't do this thing. When I try, I make the effort. No, don't make the effort. Lean on grace. Ask for the one who is the giver of grace and the power to help you to get through. As you dwell in his reality, not the enemy's reality. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. God's word, help us. Verse 5. It says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Amen. Those who do what? I'll read it in the New King, in the TPT. Those who are motivated by the flesh only pursue what benefits themselves. That statement is loaded. But those who live by the impulses of the Holy Spirit are motivated to pursue spiritual what? Realities. Remember, we're talking about two realities. Hallelujah. It says, those who live by, I'm reading New King James now, those who live according to the flesh set their minds. Those who live, meaning not everybody will live, or not everybody is living according to the flesh. Some are not. Where are you living? Like I said last week, don't be quick to answer. Many times situation and circumstances will show where you are living. Oh, I'm living at number 3, whatever street. No, I'm not talking about that. Where are you? Where is your reality? What reality are you dwelling in? Are you dwelling in the natural reality? Are you dwelling all the spiritual reality? Hallelujah. It says, for those who live according to the flesh, set their minds. What does it mean to set your mind? You know, when a person when you set your mind on something, that means you have locked in. You are focused. That thing is dominating you. That is your mindset. That is the frequency in which you are operating. And many times, nothing can shake you out of it. He said, those who set their minds on the things of the flesh, those who are dominated by the things of the flesh, those who are ruled by the things of the flesh, what happens to them? They set their minds on the things of the flesh. And remember, the flesh is dead. It says they are motivated. They only pursue things that benefit themselves, meaning they are selfish. Living in the natural reality makes you a selfish person. It's all about you. It's all about me. What's the problem with Satan? I will ascend. I will become. I. Until he was cast down. And many times, unfortunately, some Christians, remember it says, and those who live, meaning there are those who live there, whose minds are set there, they are dominated by their natural realities. They are moved by the senses, what they can see, until I see, until I hear. You can say your own, but if I don't see it, I don't believe it. But Jesus said, blessed is he who believes and have not yet seen. So which reality are you living in? It's a question we need to ask ourselves. In one of the Bible study centers during the week, the coordinator was asking, as believers, do you think of others or are you selfish? When you go out there, do you carry the reality of Christ with you? Or it's about you? It's about me. What I want, what I'm going to do. Your mind is set on me, self, me. What motivates you? What propels you? What makes you do the things that you do? Is it self or the spirit? Remember, two realities. It says, those who are motivated by the flesh only pursue what benefits themselves. It's only, what will I get out of it? If you are calling me to do this, what is in it for me? That is a selfish life. Jesus did not come to live here as a selfish person. He came, he gave himself. He gave everything. He gave his life for you, for me. Why don't you be there for somebody? Why don't you encourage somebody? Why don't you lift up the weak hands of somebody? Why don't you pray for somebody? Oh, but I don't have anything. It doesn't have to be about money all the time. Why don't you just go there, sit, be of help to somebody? Carry the atmosphere of Christ, the spiritual reality with you. Carry Christ, a word of encouragement. Oh, let me go with you. Let me help you do this thing. It does not belittle you. It elevates you. Jesus came to serve. He didn't come to lord it upon them. Don't you know who I am? Who are you? If the grace of God has not, if God has not given grace to you, if God has not kept you, if his mercy has not been there, where will you be? What reality are you walking in? Hallelujah. It says, set their mind. Their mind is fixated on that. They are motivated by the impulses of the Holy Spirit. That is, those who are living in the spiritual reality. What reality are you living in, like I asked? God help us. God help his church. Many times we failed him. But he's calling us up. Because the place he's taking us is still far. And what he has for us is still a lot. We're coming into our campus. New people will be joining us with their baggages. And many times we forget that we also had baggages until God had mercy on us. But now we don't have mercy on somebody else. We are impatient. What are we doing then? We are latching, we are plugged again into the natural reality. When we become impatient with one another. He's bringing people to us. How are you going to receive them? Will your lifestyle push them out or will encourage them to remain? Will your words bring comfort or say, if that's the way the person talk, if that is how they talk here, this is not the place for me. What reality are you carrying? The reality you're carrying, will it attract or will it push out or repel? Will Christ be formed on your inside? Or it is man that is being formed on your inside? The nature of man, natural reality. We need to examine ourselves, brethren. ask yourself a question. Sometimes, why is it that my family members, those who are close to, they've not accepted Christ? You know, like we say many times, say they are the most difficult people to win. Why? Because they know us in and out. But you know what? When the light of Christ is shining, when the love of God is shining out, is oozing out, even the devil cannot resist love. But do we show it? This world is not my own. I'm just passing through. So you do you, I do me. I remember the drama of our GMT. You do you, I do me. That is not spiritual reality. That is selfishness. And which is bound in the natural reality. Many times, we forget that the spiritual realm is supernatural. Meaning that it's not in our own strength. God wants to put his super on your natural so that you become supernatural. That your everyday life is a reflection of the supernatural nature of the one on your inside, of the one whom you are serving, in the reality in which you are living. God is a supernatural God. And he wants us to exhibit this to those around us. Our colleagues at work, at home, amongst our friends, even in church, wherever we are. Can you imagine if every one of us here is working in the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit of God? Can you imagine what will happen? Miracles will be like meats, will be like food. The miracles is happening every minute, every time, all the time. Whenever things are happening, even when we go out, we don't leave church and we leave spirituality in there and pick up. And you get to the door, you pick up natural reality and you go. And then all through the week, you live naturally. And then come back and say, God, I've come for your super. The super is not meant for in here, it's meant for out there. So that men can see that there's something different about us. That men will know that we serve a living God. Hallelujah. Still on verse 5, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. What are the things of the flesh? What are the things of the flesh? Galatians 5. Galatians 5, let's go to the word to answer that question for us. What are the things of the flesh? Galatians 5 from verse 19 to 21. What does it say? Galatians 5 from verse 19 to 21. Now the works of the flesh are evident. That is, it's sin. Nobody can deny it. Then it's, you see it. What are they? Which are what? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness. What else? Idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy. Do we envy one another? Are we jealous of one another? Who do they think they are? Me too, I have what they have now. What are they? Those are the works of the flesh. Natural reality. Envy, murders, drunkenness, rivalries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will what? Will not inherit the kingdom of God. Meaning that when you walk in the natural reality, forget about the kingdom of God. You have no part, you have no portion. Because that realm is governed by the prince of the air, Satan. Read it, let's read it in the Passion Translation. Galatians 5, 19 to 21. The cravings, mine says, the behavior of the self-life is obvious. It says the craving of the self-life are obvious. You can see it. What are those obvious things? Sexual immorality. Lustful what? Thoughts. It didn't even say looking at it. Thoughts. Remember, we've been taught thoughts are what? They're capsules. Word capsules. They're in there. Lustful thoughts. Pornography. What else? Chasing after things instead of God. Chasing after what? Things. The Bible tells us that seek first the kingdom of God and every other thing shall be added to you when you seek first the kingdom. So, meaning that when you put the cart before the horse, you're walking in the natural reality. You're walking in the flesh. Chasing after things instead of God. Manipulating others. That's also a major one. Manipulating what? Others. You know that this thing is not so, but now you are pretending, you are speaking because you have the gift of tongues, of speaking. You are good, you are learned. You have the vocabulary. And then you speak the big English and you turn everything down. And by the time the hearer is like, what are they even talking about? I say, but don't you see? Yes, you don't. And they're looking. I say, okay. Why? Just go with your trouble. Manipulating others. Hatred of those who get in your way. Senseless arguments. I just love to argue. I like to argue. That is plugging into the natural reality. Resentment when others are favored. That's jealousy. Temper tantrums. If it's not me, nobody else. I must have my way. If I'm not having my way, we'll scatter everything now. No other person will benefit. Natural reality. Angry quarrels. Only thinking of, remember I said earlier, selfishness. Thinking of yourself, being in love with your own opinion. You love your own opinion, whether it is right, whether it is wrong, whether it's ugly, whether it's rubbish. So far it is your own. You want to shove it down the throat of others, not willing to listen to others. No man is an island. No man is devoid of all answers. That's why God has given us one another. So we put heads together. You bring yours to the table. We look at it. Holy Spirit, which one? Which way? Not no, it's this and it must be this. Where are we? Being envious of the blessing of others. Are you happy when God blesses other people? Do you rejoice with them? Or it's like, we don't even know what they did to get what they got. Amen. How about me? Being envious of the blessing of others. The Bible says rejoice with those who rejoice. So that when your own rejoicing comes, they'll come and rejoice with you. But you must have sowed a seed of rejoicing before you can reap a harvest of rejoicing. If you didn't sow a seed of rejoicing, there's nothing to harvest. And also the other way too. If you sow the seed of being envious, you will reap a harvest of others envying you. Murder, uncontrolled addictions, wild parties, and all other similar behavior. Haven't I already warned you that those who use their, look at that word, freedom, in quotes. They think they are free. But the true freedom is in Christ. He has made us free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It says they use their freedom in quotes for these things. Those who do that will not inherit the kingdom realm of God. Which reality are you dwelling in? Where is your address? In the spirit. You know, both things, both are spiritual. So what is your, where is your address in the spirit? Is it the natural reality or the spiritual reality? Don't answer me. It's between you and God. And if you need to make amends, begin to make amends. Which reality are you dwelling in? Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Verse 6. For to be carnally minded is what? Is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Let's read it in the TPT. It says, for the sense and reason of the flesh is what? Death. But the mindset, controlled by the spirit, finds life and peace. The mind, verse 6. For the sense and reason of the flesh is what? Is death. The New King James says, for to be carnally minded is death. That is, your mind is carnal. It's carnality continuously. What does that mean? It says here, sense and reason of the flesh. What does the word carnal, what does it mean? What does it mean? The word carnal comes from the word canine. How many of us did biology? We know what the canine is. The canine is that pointed teeth. We all have it. But it's more pronounced in the big cat family. Where that's the lions, the tigers, the cheetahs. They have huge canine teeth, both up and down. And what do they use it for? They use it to pounce on their prey and to tear their prey apart. The flesh of the prey. So that word canine also means the word flesh. So when you are walking carnally, when you are you're carnally minded, what you are doing is that you are walking in the flesh. And the flesh profits nothing. The spirit world gives life. It profits nothing. So where are you dwelling? The natural world always produces death. It says, but the mindset controlled. The mindset that is controlled. The mindset that is controlled by what? By what? The spirit. What does it do? It finds life and peace. Many times we say, I need peace. I need peace. I need peace. I need peace. And people are searching for peace in the wrong places. Some are looking for peace in yoga. Some go as far as, is it transcendental meditation or whatever it is, looking for, I want that inner peace. Forgetting that when you develop your relationship with Christ, you find the Prince of Peace. He's the only one that can give you peace. Every other thing outside of Christ is just a waste of time. You'll be going from pillar to post. You'll be running helter-skelter. Connect with the one who is the giver of peace. The Bible calls him the Prince of Peace. His peace embodiment, the embodiment of peace, is a carrier of peace. It says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding. You can't comprehend it. You just have a peace within you. Have you experienced that before? You have a knowing, there's a calmness on your inside that you know that no matter what. Many times you hear pastors say, I have peace within me. Many times you cannot pen it down and say, okay, this is what it looks like. No, there is that knowing, that peace, that calmness, that come what may, the greater one on my inside will bring or accomplish whatever it is that is presented before him. Hallelujah. The peace of God. But the mindset controlled by the spirit finds what? Life and peace. And then verse 7. In fact. The Bible is saying in fact. Many times we use in fact. What are we, when we say in fact, we are trying to establish that fact. That this, truly, truly, this is what I'm saying. Don't be moved. It says, in fact, the mindset focused on the flesh fights God's plan. Do you fight God's plan? God says, do this. And you say, God, it's the one you are looking for, not me. God, I can't do this. No, 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 no. I have my own plans. These are my own plans. It says, in fact, the mindset focused on the flesh fights God's plan and refuses to submit to his direction because he cannot. Why can it not? Because it's limited. It cannot. There's no power to propel it. There's no power of the Holy Spirit to help. It's limited. He says he cannot. He cannot. He can't do anything. He can't follow God's plan. That is the mindset on the flesh, the natural reality. He cannot. For no matter, verse 8, for no matter how hard they try, putting the flesh, oh, I'm trying, I've thought about it, the analysis, the calculations I did. He says, no matter how they try, God finds no pleasure with those who are controlled by the flesh. He finds no pleasure in those who are walking in the natural reality. What reality are you walking in? And finally, verse 9. But when the Spirit of Christ empowers your life, hallelujah. When what? The Spirit of Christ. When you are walking in the spiritual reality. When you become one with it. When the Holy Spirit is the greater one on your inside. You are not dominated by the flesh. You cannot be manipulated by the flesh. You are not swayed by the flesh. You are not living under the dictates of the flesh. But by the Spirit. And if you are not joined to the Spirit of the Anointed One, you are not of Him. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. But when the Spirit of Christ empowers your life, it gives you power. The Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit. Remember, living life, the power of the Holy Ghost. Living by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the topic. And if you look at the heading in chapter 8 in the TPT, that's what it says. Living by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. But when the Spirit of Christ empowers your life, you are not dominated by the flesh. But what are you dominated by? What are you moved by? What propels you? The Holy Spirit. When you dwell in the spiritual reality. I enjoin us. Which reality are we dwelling in? The natural or the supernatural? Which is also the spiritual. The supernatural is where God dwells. The supernatural is where God wants his children to be. It's where he wants us to be. Where he wants you to be. Where he wants me to be. Where he wants us to walk in. He wants us to display his glory wherever we go. But do we display his glory? Do we carry his supernatural power? Are we manifesting it? Or we are manifesting self? We need to ask ourselves that question as we move into our campus. And like I said, there will be those who will be joining us. Thank God, God is bringing more. He's increasing us. But will your reality push them out or draw them in? Will it welcome them or repel them? You choose. Let's rise on our feet this afternoon. Hallelujah. You go before God. You know what reality you are dwelling in. Or even if you are not sure, if you are yo-yo in between the two, ask him to help you to set your feet on solid ground. In the reality of Christ, in the supernatural, so that is where that will be your dwelling place, so that you'll not be tossed to and fro. You will remain and you'll abide in his presence, where you're a carrier of everything God. Father in heaven, we thank you. Father in heaven, we give you thanks. We praise your name. We thank you for your word. Thank you for that which you've shared with us this morning. Thank you, Father. Lord, we come before you and we repent of all the times we've walked in the natural reality, denying your presence, denying the power of the Holy Spirit that is at work in us. Father, we say, forgive us. Father, I pray for everyone, including myself, that Lord, you grant us the grace to live in your presence, to walk in the supernatural, to walk in the spiritual reality. That is where you dwell, because that's where you want us to be. We receive the grace, we receive the strength, we receive the empowerment by the Holy Spirit to do this, Lord. Because, Lord, it is not by our power, it's not by might, but by your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit that you've given to us. We'll not just put him on the back burner, but he'll become part of our everyday life, even as we welcome him day by day into our lives to lead us, to guide us, to teach us, to correct us. Father, we thank you. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name, and everybody said,